From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 29th day of September 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later in the program, we'll catch up with Matt Bennett. He should be on his combine, I think, still this afternoon out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt's with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting. We'll check in on the cash grain segment with him and then talk about the agricultural weather forecast too. That with Mike Tenor from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on this Thursday afternoon, here's the way the numbers finished up. December contract in the corn pit was unchanged at $3.29 and a quarter. The March at $3.39 unchanged as well. May futures at $3.46 down a quarter. July down a quarter at $3.53. December of next year at $3.68 and three quarters, a half of a cent lower. November beans at $9.50 and a quarter, up 4 and three quarters. January $9.56 and a quarter, 4 and a quarter higher. The March up 4 and three quarters at $9.63. May 4 and three quarters higher at $9.69 and a half, and next year's November beans at $9.51 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter cents. Bean oil 45 cents higher at $33.09. Bean meal at $2.97.90, $1.80 lower. Soft red winter wheat December contract down 4 and a quarter cents at $3.99. July at $4.46 and a quarter, 3 and a half lower, and the hard red July down 4 cents at $4.54 on this Thursday afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the October at $101.80, down $1.67 and a half. September feeders down a buck even at $134.17 and a half. The October there at $127.27 and a half, 75 cents lower, and lean hogs at $51.97 and a half, up 27 and a half cents. Have you taken time to dial in yet? I hope so, but if not, this is the day to do it, because this is the last day for our fall pledge drive. 217-244-9455, the number to call, or go to willpledge.org and make your donation in support of the agricultural programming, and make sure that you either check the boxes or tell the person that you're calling that you're calling in support of agriculture. Again, willag.org, willpledge.org, or 217-244-9455. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. I haven't looked just recently to see how close we are to meeting our goal. It's 125. But by the end of the day today, we're hoping to get a lot closer than that, maybe get over 110,000. We weren't very far away from that at this point. So if you get on the line right now, I need maybe, let's go with 30 at 50 bucks a piece, and that way if I get 10 at 100, I'm all happy. But you need to call in right now, 217-244-9455, and we'll be happy with whatever you pledge. But right now you're out in the combine and you're having a good year, at least in terms of your yields. We'll talk more about price in just a moment with Dan Zwicker. But we do need you to step up just a bit. The programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media, whether you listen to it online or on one of our radio stations, you follow me on Twitter. We work really very hard to make sure you get all kinds of good information that helps you market in good times, like 2006 to 2012, 13, and in not so good times like the past 3 or 4 years. Either way, we depend on you to help us out, and we put all our money in the bank for use in the next year. So what we're collecting right now, we won't use until next year, and that's all we'll use in that year. So we're hopeful that you can help us out. 217-244-9455. That's the number to call. Let me repeat it again. 217-244-9455, or go to willpledge.org and make that donation. Either way, make sure that you either check the boxes that say in support of agriculture, or you tell the person you're talking to in support of agriculture a check, tell us you're pledging, or do it the easy way with your MasterCard, Visa, Discover, those kinds of things, but do it right now. On the phone line to take a look at what's happened in Chicago for this trading day is Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan, and thanks for all your service over the years.
Yeah, Todd, glad to be with you, and I want to second your asking for some pledges for WLL Ag Radio. farmers, I think if they don't really realize what kind of service that you really are offering, and it would be a shame that the funding would never come about, that we would have to kind of do away with it, because they do get a lot of good opinions and a lot of variety of market information. Nobody's perfect in this world, but WLL does an excellent job of at least giving farmers an option of what kind of information they want to hear about and what how it may or may not help them in their marketing over the years.
Hey, thank you so much. Again, the number to call, 217-244-9455. Now tell me about the marketplace today and where you think we set at this point in terms of our ability to gain any of the losses we've had over the past several months back.
Well, seasonally, now we're entering the time window. Usually any time after the September 30th stocks report, harvest has a strong, or corn and soybeans have a strong tendency to find some kind of low between, let's say, the September 30th crop report and the October production crop report. So we are in this window in here. September is a month that is dominantly down, you know, 8 out of 10 years, or maybe even a little higher than that, 85% of the time. Corn and soybean prices close lower for the month. This year, of course, we got one day to go and a report that could have some surprises in it. But corn's higher for the month, wheat's higher for the month, soybeans, November soybeans are a little higher for the month. So there really wasn't no downward pressure on the market during the month here of September. And I think that's an accomplishment all by itself. Tomorrow's report, I think, probably has room for surprises. And of course, if we do have surprises, then that would indicate probably the June stocks number was off. But, you know, for these guesses that everybody's looking at for tomorrow's report, kind of looking for maybe corn carry out to go up a little bit, maybe bean carry out unchanged to slightly higher, that's all based upon the assumption that USDA's June numbers were correct. We'll see as we get. This is the final report for this crop year. And while maybe 100 million bushels here or 100 million bushels there may not change too much because the market is focused on harvest, it may have some impact on the longer-term balance sheets and can change the complexion of the market. We'll just have to kind of see what USDA gives us. But without any surprises here, it looks like the markets are going to kind of finish out the month of September pretty much unchanged. And then, of course, the big report that will probably have some surprises in it will be probably that October report, but that's still a couple weeks away yet.
Do you think it'll have surprises to which direction?
Well, if you assume that the you know, as far as the October crop report goes, I think we're finding out that, yes, the good ground may not be producing the higher-end numbers that farmers expected to attain the 2014 yield. But from what I'm finding out, the marginal grounds that usually pull down national averages and state averages, they're all coming in fairly strong. So a big downward adjustment in corn production, I don't know if that's necessarily going to show up on the October report. The thing that probably is more nerve-wracking than anything is USDA usually makes acreage changes on the October report. I know the trade is somewhat in difference of opinion of what USDA may or may not do on acreage. It just depends. You could have acreage increases in corn and soybeans, and even if they did bring down the corn yield a little bit, it really wouldn't necessarily change. But My guess is there'll be a surprise. And I'm at the point right now, looking at the charts, looking at the seasonals. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if tomorrow's report is somewhat friendly or supportive to the market. Now, stocks reports have a strong tendency of telling you why the market performed the way it did during the past 30 days, more so than what it's going to do the next 30 days. And the way the market is closing out, unchanged or so for the month of September when you're normally down, it tells me that maybe supplies may not be quite as large as what the trades anticipate.
Yeah, would that be on the idea maybe that USDA has already built in the usage, and it shows, I think, in the reports, for wheat in the summer months being fed, and that the trade's really thinking that there might be too much corn there left over because
Yeah, that's what they're thinking, but they're assuming that USDA's June number was correct. And that may not have been correct. That could have been off a couple hundred million bushels. I mean, we got to keep in mind that it's very difficult to, when you start to talk about margin of error, things can change. And, USDA has its feed and residual, and residual is unexplained disappearance. That is something that we can't explain, and maybe the production number, maybe we didn't produce as big a crop as we did what USDA has on the books, and this would show up here on the September report if the stocks numbers would come in a little lower than what the trade's looking at. That would indicate it would be a good one to put on unexplained disappearance, or it would probably indicate that USDA might have the production numbers too high. But on the flip side, we could look at something much bigger. So when it comes to government reports, quarterly reports, I always get to the sidelines and just kind of, you know, keep my fingers crossed that it doesn't impact the underlying structure of the market too much, because they can do that.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again in a week.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, the short-term government spending package passed by Congress yesterday does not include funding for USDA's Farm Service Agency's Direct and Guaranteed Operating Loans program, nor does it include language giving the agency flexibility to provide financing in proportion to demand. The scenario all but guarantees FSA will run out of money to fulfill all approved operating loans before December 9th, when the continuing resolution expires. That's an outcome that groups like the National Farmers Union, the American Farm Bureau Federation, and the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition hope to avoid. As of Monday, FSA had a backlog of 916 direct and guaranteed operating loans worth some $119 million, with those numbers changing every day as new applications roll in. There is high demand for federal credit, with bankers demanding additional assurances that producers can pay back their loans. As farm income declines amid sinking commodity prices, agricultural groups are hopeful Congress will increase funding for the FSA operating loan program when lawmakers negotiate a fiscal 2017 appropriations package in December. An FSA spokesman said there is a procedural process the agency can undertake to request additional funds for lending during the duration of the CR to meet demand. The process is available, but not anticipated. Well, in a busy night in the House on Wednesday, lawmakers approved by a 399-25 margin a major water infrastructure bill, or WERDA, that includes $170 million in authorized funds to address the contaminated water crisis in Flint, Michigan. House passage of the Water Resources Development Act caps a months-long battle over whether to send federal aid to Flint, but attention now turns to how to resolve differences between the House version of WERDA and the much broader measure from the Senate. Several aides say they will informally conference the bills while Congress is in recess in October in hopes of having a negotiated package ready for swift approval when lawmakers return after the election. Conference or not, the aides are very happy about WERDA and say that a fully intact package will be on the president's desk soon after the election. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Four consecutive years of lower commodity prices has nearly exhausted the financial resources of U.S. grain farmers. Working capital is used by farmers to buffer their low income years. They do this by building up their bank accounts, grain inventories, and other assets during years of plenty. A review of the farms in the Illinois FBFM record-keeping service shows farmers did that from 2006 to 2012, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnitke.
So that was the era of high prices, high incomes, and we increased working capital. And now we're in the process of reducing it again. And by the end of 2016, it'll be about the same levels as it was from pre-2006. So we're back to levels where we were tight before, so we don't really have any, won't have any large buffers in working capital anymore.
There comes a point, says Schnitke, as working capital declines, at which it can no longer be used to meet shortfalls. This is the point when farmers will begin to refinance their debt.
For example, one of the things that we're seeing farmers do now is reduce grain inventories and increase operating notes. Eventually, those operating notes will have to be refinanced because they can't be met with this in this current period. Farmer will, or the lender will take collateral on that, and that will be termed out, or it will be put on a longer termed note. So that's the process. So working capital's gone. Now we're going to have to be looking at other means of financing those cash shortfalls.
Things aren't dire yet on the farm. However, borrowing to cover cash shortfalls must be stemmed. This will require some fortitude on the part of the farm family. Their annual living expenses will need to come down, along with the rest of the farm expenses, input costs, cash rents, and the like. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Please do take time to make a phone call for me, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org, and make a donation in support of the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Matt Bennett is on the phone line now. He's in the Combine in Windsor, Illinois. That's Shelby County. Thanks so much for being with us today, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Don.
So you're in corn again. How's corn harvest? This is, what, your third week, I think, that you've been in corn.
Yeah, we've harvested a little bit there 2 weeks ago, and then last week, and here we're probably down to, I don't know, 4 days of corn. It's about all we got left. We were switched back to beans yesterday, and then we got a nice little shower last night and this morning, and we knew we weren't being able to cut any beans this afternoon, so we switched back to corn. But we haven't done a whole lot of beans yet. I'm going to say about, 150 acres, something like that. Awfully good beans. We cannot complain there. And then corn yields have, still been awfully solid. Nothing like 14, but pretty good.
What do you think about the grain stocks report tomorrow morning?
I think it's going to be interesting to see on the soybeans if it's quite as tight as what everybody thinks. There's a lot of speculation that maybe last year's bean crop was a little bit bigger than what we thought. Whenever, especially you look at basis levels, didn't get quite as high as what some people thought that they might, given what some of the speculation was about how tight stocks were. So I don't know. I suppose you could have a surprise on any end when we're talking to the USDA report.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Stay safe out there on the combine, and I do appreciate you taking the time with me today.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you to dial in. Don't wait. Do it right now, 217-244-9455, and pledge your financial support. Every dollar helps, and we're going to wrap up the campaign today looking for a bunch of our agricultural listeners to do that job. 217-244-9455, and make sure you tell them that you're in support of agriculture. Now, on the phone line with us is Mike Tenurum. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Todd. How's your day going?
It's really good, and the farmers are responding. Everybody's having a pretty good drive here, so we're happy. In fact, happy that they're still able to get through the field. However, I'm looking at the forecast, and it seems that depends a lot on which side of the Corn Belt you might be in.
Well, you're absolutely right, and the Mississippi River will be a good dividing zone between great conditions off to the west for harvesting, or at least dry weather. A lot of areas to the left of the Mississippi River do need to dry out a little bit more before they can have good conditions to get the harvesters rolling. But as you head to the east over the next couple of days, that's where things are a little bit trickier. We do have an upper level system that is going to sit and spin for several more days, centered on Indiana and Ohio. That system will eventually move out on Sunday, but until it does so, we'll be dealing with cool conditions, some clouds and some showers from time to time, with total rainfall adding up to anywhere from half of an inch to 1 to 1 1/3 inches over the next several days. So again, these eastern areas a little bit wet, but areas up to the west stay fairly dry through at least Monday.
And will that change anytime soon?
Well, things do change a little bit once we get into next week. We'll essentially see somewhat of a reversal of the weather pattern, where areas to the west of the Mississippi River end up seeing one or two significant rains starting around Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, while areas off to the east stay dry. So things will start to improve in the east and then deteriorate a little bit in the west. Once you put all of this together, it's not the best situation in the world for harvesting, but certainly not the worst, because all the heavy rains that we saw earlier in the month are mostly over with. Again, we do have these showers around in different areas, but we're not seeing major thunderstorm clusters like we had last week.
Better check in on the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the nation. They'll be trying to plant a crop. How's that going?
Well, there's been some significant rainfall in the eastern portions of the hard red winter wheat belt from eastern Nebraska through eastern Oklahoma and Texas. Up to the west, it's been fairly dry over the last couple of weeks. And going forward here for the next 5 to 7 days, not a whole lot happening. High temperatures pop out between 75 and 85 every day. Sunny skies, not too much in the way of rain until possibly Tuesday or Wednesday. So we do expect that conditions for planting in the plains will continue to improve for about a week or so. Then again, some rain here and there, but we're now looking at a washout.
Speaking of planting, farmers in Brazil usually wait for the rainfall to begin to alleviate dry conditions before they move. Has that happened, or will it happen shortly?
Well, it's about to happen. Every week through the end of the year is wetter than the previous week in Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay, because the climate just turns wetter as you go forward into the end of the year. It's somewhat similar to what you have in the U.S., where the winter is fairly dry and then the summer is fairly wet, and that transition period in the spring tends to get a lot more rain. Well, that's what's happening down there now in a lot of these areas. It's starting to rain a little bit today in Argentina, but there's several more systems behind the one that's moving through now. That one will end up producing, or all these systems will end up producing, several significant rains over the next 10 days, not only in Argentina, but also in Brazil and Paraguay. So by the time you add it all up, we're looking at fairly widespread rainfall of 1 to 3 inches in all the corn, soybean, wheat, and sunflower areas of South America. All in all, nothing too much to fret about at the moment. It's just a little bit early to get too excited about much of anything down there, especially with some rains now starting to show up, which will help to improve overall planting and growth weather.
Thanks so much, Mike.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.